Okay. Let's come together. My name is Dan Gonzaga, and I'm one of the board members here, for those of you, some of you who don't know. And I approve that message. All right. Let's start off with prayer, and this is how we'll do it. We'll go into silence and for a few minutes, and then someone break the silence and just call out the name of a person that you want to lift up in prayer. And we can do several as the Spirit leads you. And then I'll kind of end it with a word of prayer after some time of you calling out a name of a person. You don't have to say anything more than just the name of the person, even just the first name, if that's what you feel comfortable. So let's begin with silence. And as we move into silence, think of, just reflect on how you're coming into our time together here, this gathering that we have, or just enjoy the silence and the presence of the Lord with you in that silence. God, our Father, our Abba, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers for these precious souls that you brought to mind. Spirit, pray for them, where we stumble, where we can't, where we don't know how to pray for these. Pray for us, as you promised. God, as we move into the next thing here, Lord, ask that this would be a private time between you and us. This is your domain. This gathering of your body of people, this room, this space is your domain. Through the invisible realm, anyone who is not of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not welcome. You are to leave right now. Those who remain, you are to be bound to silence. You are not to influence this moment with God's people. You are not to embarrass. You are not to confuse. You are not to interfere in any way. In Jesus' name. Getting connected, hearing God. When this subject comes up, how do you feel about it? Is it something that you can get excited with, thinking of the possibilities? Or is it something that is dampening, considering all the improbabilities? What's it like for you? Just think about that for a second and kind of take that in. It was always meant for us to hear from the Lord. I used to think that only special people had that privilege, and that occasionally by some miraculous turn of events, the Lord would give me an epiphany to encourage my heart or to redirect my path onto to the path that he wants me for me, or sometimes to inspire me as I read scripture and study scripture. Because scripture is inspired. And beyond that, I heard his voice few and far between, and only when drastic measures require it or a crisis was looming. I envied those who had that privilege, men and women of the scriptures, some contemporary Christians who were, for some special reason, blessed with a gift of hearing from the Spirit. But it was always meant for all of us who are His children. So if there's any question in your soul or in your mind about where the Lord is about this question, dispel any notion in your heart that this is only for a few hand-picked people. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when our ancestral parents made their tragic decision to listen to the evil one and eventually more to each other rather than the Lord was right there, ready and wanting to engage. He was immediately active to try to close the gap that would eventually grow into a chasm between us and Him. Where are you? Where are you? The Lord called out to our ancestral parents. Where are you? That's a value statement. They tell us we are wanted. They tell us that He wants to connect. They tell us that we matter to Him. Call upon me, and I will answer you, the Lord says in the scriptures, and tell you great and incomprehensible things, things that you do not know. The door to connection with God has been opened wide for us. God has done everything necessary on His side to make that happen. There are absolutely no barriers on His side of the relationship. In truth, He invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace. William Shedd, a theologian, describes this reality. He says, God is at peace with those who accept the atoning death and resurrection of Christ on their behalf. God is at peace with those who accept the atoning death and resurrection of Christ on their behalf. He is at peace with us. We are the ones who are often not at peace with Him, although He offers it to us continuously. Scripture talks about reconciliation between us and God. And there are two amazing ways Scripture presents reconciliation. One of that is God reconciling us to Himself by His own act of atonement for us. God reconciling us to Himself by His own act of atonement for us. Secondly, Scripture holds out to us that there is work and ministry of reconciling the elements of our hearts to His, so that we might experience the wholeness and peace that's ours in union with Him. So in regard to the atonement piece, Scripture clearly teaches that the origin and author of this atoning grace that has an effect on the divine being is the divine being Himself. God placates, He satisfies, and reconciles Himself. God is the one who is angry at sin, yet He is the one who placates His anger. God is the offended party, yet He is the one who takes the necessary steps to reconcile the offended party. Divine justice demands satisfaction, and it is divine compassion that fleshes out and embodies the satisfaction. God is the one who holds man to the consequence of sin, and He is the one who pays the ransom that frees him from it. God is the judge who requires compensation for sin, and God is the forgiving Father who provides the compensation. This reality removes all possibilities that God would stiff-arm us because somehow we don't measure up or because we don't meet some standard of divine expectation. This is amazing. This is the height of love and mercy. After all that, after the gates have swung wide open, what is preventing connection with him? Too many in the body of Christ do not experience hearing from their loving God and their Lord. Either they don't know how to meet with him, or tragically, they believe that he does not want to meet with them, although they have tried everything to make it happen. That is totally unacceptable. What's going on? What's going on? Barriers of the heart, heart's debris. That's what's going on. Some of the barriers of the heart, some debris of the heart will need to be identified and dismantled. Often, the barrier is a belief that somehow we have to get God to come, that somehow we are not hitting the right key or the right combination or applying the right method to get a response from God. Worse yet, we might think that we don't deserve that kind of intimacy. It brings that belief, that conclusion is lethal. It brings communion with him to a serious halt. And that is a significant, significant loss. And the spiritual implications are devastating. Where do we think he is? Where is he? The truth is that he's already near, very present, available, and the problem is that we don't have the awareness of that reality. Something is blocking, obscuring, or blunting that awareness. A lid has been put over our heart. So the first thing that is needed is a shift in people's thinking, a shift from I have to find the right key to he's already here and present. So there is something blocking my awareness of that reality. A shift from I don't deserve closeness with him to he desires closeness with me. But something in me seems unable to believe that. In this predicament, I will need the Lord to help me discover what's blocking. And that is something that he is more than willing and more than able to do for me. Another potential impediment arises from knowing many things about the Lord. Those of us who've been Christians for a long time, who have amassed extensive academic or theological knowledge, might tend to think that knowing these things is the same as experiencing them. It is not. It is not. I may know a whole set of wonderful truths and moral principles, but still believe in my heart that they apply to others and not to me. The heart belief, the emotional infrastructure that molds my experience, is a more accurate indicator of where I am. Attended to, it will carry the day, and there will be no experience of the presence and love of the Lord. So I will have to learn how to identify my heart beliefs, get them honestly expressed to the Lord, and find out if they are even true, let alone if they are even accurate, if they are even an accurate reflection of God's heart towards me. It is the Lord who has comprehensive knowledge of our hearts. He's the one who has pinpoint understanding as to the contents of our hearts. There are understandable reasons for believing the things we believe, and from there we expect certain things to follow or certain outcomes. They seem reasonable and true, but that does not make it so. You might say, I tried listening in prayer and I got nothing. It works for you, but it doesn't work for me. How do we find out what our true experiential emotional beliefs are that are underneath our voiced beliefs? And here's a suggestion for us. First, we begin to inquire about what happens instead of connection with the Lord. Listening is a struggle. Connection is not happening, but something else is. What is that? What's happening instead? What are the thoughts and feelings that go on while we are trying to pray? There are many variations of answers to that question when we begin to focus on what is inside instead of what's not happening. Someone may say, "It feels like nothing will happen. Whatever I do won't make any difference." Or someone might say, "I'm afraid to hope because I've been disappointed so many times." Or someone may say, "I think of all the messed up things in my life. I'm a mess, and I know that he's not happy with me." There are a lot more to say about these things, and I think in the weeks to come, some of that will come out with some of the preaching that will follow. But these are the kinds of emotional beliefs that prevent connection with the Lord. And when we are not in touch with them, and when we have not been taught to get in touch with them, chances are remote that we would examine these barriers with the Lord and get them removed by him. That would be very sad. That would be very sad. I think this would be a good time right about now to kind of step back and ask the question, what are you hearing that's resonating with you, with what's been said so far? So how about take a few minutes to maybe talk to the person next to you or someone that you would like to talk to, and just talk about that question. What are you hearing that's resonating with you, or maybe not resonating with you? So go ahead. Okay, let's get back together. So, how are the barriers cleared? The barriers of the heart, the debris, the heart's debris. We can begin with a simple answer to the question, and that is this. Start with being very honest with the Lord about them. First, of course, we have to be able to name them. Once we do, the conversation with the Lord can take a very different turn. Emotional beliefs that have been firmly entrenched in our hearts can be articulated. We can take these beliefs that we have believed automatically and unconsciously, and turn them into a direct question to the Lord. For example, "Lord, I see that I'm believing that connection with you depends on me finding the right key or the right method to how it works. Is that true? Does it depend on me? You say that you are with us and never leave us, but I believe that I have to somehow get you to be with me. Are you already here?" When a person asks these questions this way, it communicates that they are not trying to be where they think they should be. Instead, they are stating where they are. This is touching on their real experience, not just their theorizing or their opinionizing. And this could lead to an awareness of the Lord being present, near, and understanding their struggle, but the Lord not agreeing with their conclusions about him and not agreeing with their conclusions about themselves. The surfacing of one barrier could bump into another layer of barrier. For example, a deep sense of fear of letting anyone close which the person may not have been aware was there or assumed unknowingly that it didn't apply to their relationship with the Lord. That kind of fear is often due to pronounced abuse because of the question of safety that often pushes admission of abuse underground. It will take longer to take that barrier down. It will happen in increments, piece by piece by piece. With the courage to bring it to the Lord, a person will find out that with every small risk they take, the Lord remains safe and constant. Whatever the present realities are of the abuse and the extent of it, they can be turned into questions and brought to the Lord for discussion and His exchange. Suppose a person says that nothing happens when they try to pray and they don't have clarity of their thoughts and their feelings. The best way to turn up the light on what is happening is to take the Lord seriously at His word, that He is with us, that He wants to be with us, that He hears us, that He cares, that He wants to comfort, heal, and bless. And we can invite Him in prayer to make that truth a reality to us in the way that our hearts are able to relate to, particularly if we have not yet had that experience of Him. The act of inviting the Lord to come will bump into whatever is in us. And if it registers with us that something is happening and the significance of it, our prayers will change. Once there is a sense of what is blocking, our prayer can shift to addressing it with the Lord. With the Lord is key. Asking about whether it is true with the Lord, where it came from, and what is the difference between what the Lord says and the messages that we have heard from others. When the difference between what the Lord says and what comes from others becomes evident, we can ask, who is right? Who is right? And what is likely to happen is something like this. Usually, point taken, and a knowing smile that suggests that the point has registered. The Lord or others, who is right? You know? For connection to flourish and deepen between us and the Lord, we must be settled in and immovable in the reality that there is no question at all about the Lord wanting connection with us, having done everything on His side to open access for it. So the problem is in our ability to see that, relate to it, believe it, and know that it applies to every single one of us, sons and daughters of the Most High God. The barriers, the debris can be identified. The Lord is ready and willing to assist in that. And He has the power. He has the power and authority to overrule and overturn any of them, regardless of the lesser authority that originally fooled us about them and locked our hearts to them. Our Lord Jesus said to our Father, our Abba, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. There is absolutely no question but that He wants us to connect with Him and be with Him. And He is up to whatever it takes to make that happen. Amen. So, as we go to our communion time, good to reflect on the fact that God has opened that door, that his side, he has covered his side. He's covered every possible thing on his side of the equation. It's on our side of the equation that where things need to happen. So as we enter into our time of communion, I pray that would be a point of joy for you to know that about our God, our Father, our Abba. Okay?
For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.